This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to Lessons in Fiqh. The chapter we are studying is the chapter of Adhan, the call for prayer, and the hadith we have that we begin our program with is hadith number 156. Brother Muhammad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم narrated by Jabir رضي الله عنه Allah's Messenger said to Bilal, when you announce the Azan, utter deliberately, and when you pronounce the Iqama, utter quickly, and leave between your Azan and your Iqama, time for one who is eating to finish his food. He also reported from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no one should announce Azan except the one who has performed the ablution. He also reported from Ziyad bin al-Haris, radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who announces the Azan should also pronounce the Iqama. Narrated Abdullah bin Zayd in another narration of the hadith reported by Abu Dawood, I saw it, the Azan, in a vision, and I wanted to announce it. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you pronounce the Iqama.
Okay, thank you. And unfortunately, all what you've heard was unauthentic. So the four versions are all unauthentic. It's weak, so we don't have to apply them. We don't have to elaborate on them. Nevertheless, the first one tells us that Iqama should be quick and Adhan should be slow. The reason? Because Adhan, we want it to reach as much as possible and as far as possible. While Iqama is to declare that it's time for prayer, and everyone should be in the masjid at the time of the Iqama. So there's no need to raise the voice, and there's no need to make it in a slow tone as they're already and prepared to pray. The second hadith, it says that it's not forbidden. It is forbidden for a person who is not tahir to perform adhan, which means that before you call for prayer, you have to perform ablution. And this is not authentic. And the scholars say that it is not a must. Because adhan is not leading the prayer. It's the call, it's a notification. So you do not have to be in the state of ablution when you call the adhan. The third hadith says that he who announces the adhan must announce the Iqama, but also this is not authentic. It's an open thing. If a person makes the adhan and he allows someone else to make the Iqama, or the imam instructs another person to make the Iqama, it can be easily done. And finally, the fourth hadith or the version tells us that the Prophet allowed Abdullah ibn Zayd, the person, the companion that saw the adhan in his dream, he allowed him to recite the Iqama while the adhan would be for Bilal. But again, this is not authentic, so I don't see any reason for us to go on and to talk about these hadiths. Does any one of you have any question? Okay, we move on to the following hadith, hadith number 157.
Narrated by Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased to him, Allah's Messenger said, the Mu'adhin has more right to determine the time to announce the Adhan and the imam has more right to determine when to pronounce the iqamah.
The muadhin has the right or has more right to determine the time to announce the adhan, which means that the imam is not observing the direction of the sun, it is not paying any attention to whether it's time for adhan or not, is it time for prayer or not, because this is the job of the muadhin. So he's the one who is entitled to call for the adhan or not. While the imam is the one who is entitled to tell the muadhin to make iqamah. Because when the prayer starts, it's the muadhin's job. Yet, the hadith itself is weak and it's not authentic. But the meaning sounds acceptable. Bilal, may Allah be pleased with him, would not request the Prophet ﷺ to make adhan. He would observe, and when it's time for salah, he would make the adhan himself. But he would never make iqamah unless he requests the permission from the Prophet ﷺ. So before iqamah, he goes and visits the Prophet ﷺ in his house and asks him, should I make iqamah or not? And the Prophet whether agrees or disagrees with that. The following hadith number 158.
Narrated by Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a supplication made between the adhan and iqamah is not rejected.
The supplication made between adhan and iqamah is not rejected. And seriously, this is one of the greatest hadiths that Muslims should pay attention to. Now, none of us claim to have something that he needs. Everyone in this world has a list of things that he would like them to become true. A lot of wishes that he would like them to turn into realities. And the best way to make things come true is to go to the source, which is Allah Almighty. So you have to supplicate. You have to make prayer to Allah Azza wa Jal to grant you what you want and what you need. And this cannot happen unless you know the times where Allah Azza wa Jal accept your supplication. And that is why we tend to stay in mosques and tell people to stay in mosques between adhan and iqamah. So if we try to figure out very quickly, what are the times that are most likely for Allah Azza wa Jal to answer your call? Noor?
The times. Sometimes in the middle of the night until subuh.
Middle of the night? Be more specific.
For after middle, not until dawn prayer.
No. Fadi?
Third of the night.
The first one.
Third of the night.
So the last third.
The last third of the night.
Of the night. This is the time where Allah Azza wa Jal descends and asks, are there any people seeking forgiveness that I forgive them? Are there any people that are asking me or requesting me to give them something so that I could give them? Abu Malik?
Well, the times also is when it's raining.
Now, the time when it's raining, though this was mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy on his soul, in his book Al-Wabil al-Sayyib, yet it was regarded as da'if. It's not authentic. And this was regarded da'if by the scholars of hadith. So this does not count. Though raining itself is a blessing of Allah. Do you know what the Prophet ﷺ used to do when it rained? Mustafa?
I think he used to be worried.
No. On the contrary. Mustafa.
He used to come out and perform and drink from this rain or something.
Drink? No.
I would do wudu from this rain.
And wudu? No. Abu Malik?
He would take what he had in his house out into the rain.
Again? No. Fadi?
Perform Salat Shukr?
No, because Salat Shukr actually is also not authentic. It's very easy. It's supported in Sahih Muslim that whenever it rained, the Prophet ﷺ went out in the rain and exposed some of his body to that rain, and he would tell his companions that this rain is near to from Allah Azza wa Jal. It came from heaven, and it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it shows that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever is close to Allah, he would most likely like and expose himself to. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do in rain, not to pray, not to supplicate, but to expose himself. Now, this does not mean you have to soak yourself in the rain, but the first drops of the rain, yani it's a sunnah that you expose yourself to some of it. Any other times of Afadi?
In the Kaaba, by the door called Bab al-Multazim.
Mm. This is, again, it's not a time, it's a location. Mm. So we're talking about time, but to embrace one's self, or to put oneself's chest and stomach to the Kaaba and embrace al-Multazim, where the door is of the Kaaba, there is no authentic hadith confirming this. Otherwise, people would fight like crazy and kill each other.
They do.
Well, this is wrong. The hadith is not authentic, so we do not do it. I'm talking about times. Times and positions, not necessarily locations. Mustafa?
There's an hour on Friday where a supplication would be accepted. And never
excellent.
Rejected.
And what is this hour? There is about 17 different opinion of scholars. But the most authentic one is?
In the half of the khutbah.
No, that's one of the opinions.
The time of ijaba is like before Maghrib prayer, a few hours before Maghrib prayer.
It is the last hour,
the hour.
The day of Friday, which is just before the sunset of Friday. Any time else for Abu Malik?
In prostration, sujood.
In prostration. The hadith?
In English? I don't remember in English.
The closest a person is to his Lord, to Allah, is in the prostration position. So if you can, ask and pray to Allah as much as you can, because Allah will answer your call.
After the final tashahhud.
Excellent. After the final tashahhud, just before concluding your prayer, just before taslim, after you finish all the tashahhud and the salat on the Prophet ﷺ, you make prayer, because the Prophet ﷺ said that you may choose whatever you like from prayer. So you should try your best and make supplication to Allah Azza wa Jal. Anything else?
Do like Laylatul Qadr and Ashr al-Awakhir, and do those times include, and Muharram and Ashura, I mean?
You've gathered everything that we know. Huh? You've thrown everything that we know, Muharram, Ashura, Dhul Hijjah, whatever.
These days have
Laylatul Qadr, of course.
Of course.
Okay. And the reason behind this is what Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said that, O Prophet of Allah, that if I succeed in seeing Laylatul Qadr, what should I say? So he taught her a supplication. I'm afraid we have to stop here, but we will be, inshallah, right back.
Ask Hoda.
Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to a new edition of Ask Huda.
I have two questions.
Please go ahead. You can read it in Arabic, and you can also understand the meaning in your own language. The different tafsir and the interpretation of the meanings of the Quran are available in almost every language that exists on earth by the grace of Allah. The water of Zamzam is for whatever intention you drink it with. Salih from Egypt, his father has the way, and he asked about how can he help him. Very good question.
Can they give a zakat to any of the dawah centers?
The ibadah, or the act of worship, is a part of the unity of worship. It has to be paid to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in accordance with the guidance of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome back. Just before the break, we were talking about the times that it's preferable that you make supplication to Allah Azza wa Jal so that Allah Azza wa Jal will answer your call. So, do we have any other comments, Brother Abu Malik?
Yeah, I just had one more time that we forgot to explain. Yom Arafah.
Yom Arafah. Again, this is one of the times that the Prophet ﷺ asked us, instructed us to do as much as supplication as possible on that day. And there are so many other times, and we can find a lot of them. Brother Mustafa?
Yes, we see a lot of brothers between Iqama and Adhan, and they don't do Dua. And after they finish the prayer, after the Iqama has went and we finish prayer, they start doing the Adhan, the Dua. So what do you advise you?
This is an issue that a lot of the scholars had argued about, which is, what's the ruling on supplication after you conclude your prayer? Now, Ibn Taymiyyah says, may Allah have mercy on him, that the place of supplication is before Taslim. After Taslim is the place of dhikr, where you say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and the dhikr that comes afterwards. A lot of the Muslims do this common mistake, which is that after they finish their prayer, they raise their hands and start to supplicate. And they usually have something that they've memorized by heart, and they just repeat it, and then some of them wipe their faces. Some go to the extent of wiping their whole bodies as if they're bathing. And I've seen so many weird stuff in my life from the brothers after Salah. There are brothers that immediately after Taslim, they would put their hands on their heads. And I kept watching the brothers say, are you afraid of UFOs? Are you going to fly or what? Why do you put your hand on your head? He said, no, I'm making dhikr. What kind of dhikr is that? This is an innovation. Did the Prophet do it, alayhi salam? Did the companions do it? If they did, we do it. We follow suit. But if not, then this is an innovation. It's not acceptable. Other people have seen this, that after they finish their prayer, they kiss the thumbs of their thumbs, and they wipe their eyes three times. Now, this is really, you know, strange. And so you go to the guy and say, dude, what are you doing? He said, well, if you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad three times and you rub your eyes, then you will not become blind. Wow, that's cool. But again, do you have any evidence that I can do this, share it with you? He said, yeah, well, my sheikh said so. Word of mouth. I've heard it somewhere. I don't know where was it. I think maybe Radio Israel. Well, you got your information from the wrong source, my friend. You have to have authentic hadith to apply this. And it goes on and on and on. And it's very simple and easy. Follow the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ. You will be with him on the Day of Judgment. So as Brother Mustafa has noted, and it's correctly observed, that there are people between Adhan and Iqama sit idle and doing nothing in the mosque. Maybe just watching people go by here and there. Maybe the best of them would recite the Quran, which is a sacred and an excellent thing to do. But immediately after the prayer is over, they start to supplicate. And there's nowhere in the Sunnah where it says that after prayer, supplication is accepted. Nowhere. While the hadith we are reading now, Hadith Anas, it tells us that the supplication between the Adhan and Iqama is not rejected. So you're instructed to do this. Now, do we have any other... Yes, Brother.
I have a question about supplication during prostration. You find that many people, for example, they elongate prostration a lot, even after the Imam comes up. Allahu Akbar, to say that shahud, they elongate the prostration
okay.
for a very, very huge length of time. And then after that, when they come up and they say, like, have the shahud, and the Imam says, and then they extend their prayer. Is this right or is it wrong?
Now, there are two questions here. One, what's the ruling? I'm not going anywhere. Just sitting. What's the ruling on prolonging your prayer after the imam has finished? He made the taslim, he concluded his prayer, but you still want to do more supplication and add some more. What's your ruling on this? And the second question was, what's your ruling on prolonging the prostration? Though you are following an imam, and the imam has risen from the prostration position, and now he is in the sitting position. And yet still, you still have like 20 to 30 seconds left of supplication. You don't want to interrupt that. To answer the first question, prolonging the prayer after the imam has concluded it, the scholars say it's okay. Because by concluding the prayer, you are not missing anything if you prolong it a little bit. Because eventually you're going to conclude it. What's not permissible is during the prayer that you prolong one of the deeds of the salah and not follow the imam. As in the position where you prostrate and you continue to prostrate while the imam has raised from that position and is going to the other place of prayer. Do you get my point? Why is that? Simply because the Prophet ﷺ has instructed us and said, if the imam bows, you bow immediately. If he raises his head, you raise your head immediately. If he prostrates, you prostrate immediately. If he sits between prostration, you sit immediately. So prolonging it would be, you'll be disobeying the order or instructions of the Prophet ﷺ. At the very end, the Prophet did not say, when he says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you conclude the prayer with him. No, this was left open. So this same question was asked to Sheikh bin Baz, may Allah have mercy on him, and he answered that it's okay to prolong the prayer after it's concluded. And there's nothing wrong in that. Any more questions? Yes, Noor.
I have some question connected to it, supplications. What is supplication? A supplication that sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do after prayer or
after prayer?
No. Sometimes Rasulullah do.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was reported to us, we have like books of supplications. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. He would say, اللهم لا تجعل لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته, and so on. There's so many of them, you just cannot list them. But you personally may ask Allah whatever you want, whether in Arabic or in English or in any language you wish. You pray to Allah and ask Him, whether from this life or for forgiveness and paradise of the hereafter. Fadi?
Yeah, I was wondering, we just talked about the times where it's preferable to perform supplication and that could be answered. But if we perform supplication in other times, is it not permissible? Like for instance, during ruku'ah or when you stand up from ruku'ah or after fatiha or any time during prayer, is it permissible or not?
No, it's not permissible unless it was mentioned to us by the Prophet ﷺ. For example, it's permissible for us whenever the imam recites a verse of the Qur'an, and in the verse of the Qur'an, it talks about hell or punishment, and you say, I seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal. Or it talks about paradise and reward, and you say, I seek Allah's generosity. This is permissible. But when you are in the ruku' position, when you are in the bowing position, there are certain supplications that the Prophet told us to do. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, wa bihamdi, sabbuhun qaddusun, Rabbul malaikati wa ruh, and so on. To come and intervene and say something out of it, supplication like, oh God, guide my children to be good Muslims, here is wrong. Yes, because it's not a position for supplication. As for the ruku', the Prophet says, "Sa'adhimu fihi al-Rabb." You may glorify Allah in the ruku' position. In the sujood, on the contrary, The Prophet tells us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should ask Allah, we should supplicate to Allah, we should call Allah Azza wa Jal as much as we want. That is why it's preferable that one limits himself to the positions that we were instructed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Brother Mustafa.
Is it permissible to memorize the supplications of certain people other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and repeat them?
Now, again, this is a problem that many people ask about. What do we mean by supplication of people? For example, I read this dua. It's a supplication. And I trace this dua. It has not been said by the Prophet ﷺ, nor his companions. It was written by Sheikh so-and-so. The words are very nice. You know, they rhyme, they are close to your heart, and they're beautiful. Now, for us to do it, it's okay. But for us to think it's a sunnah, it's wrong. For us to spread it among people, it's wrong. Because then it would be misunderstood and thought to be of some significance. For you to pray to Allah saying any type of dua is acceptable. Therefore, if you see something and you like it, and you think that it has some magnificence to it, and it may be nice to pray, it's okay, but don't spread it. Don't write it down and give it to people. And don't assume that it is better than the sunnah, because always the sunnah is much, much better. Nevertheless, sometimes one of us would like to call Allah Azza wa Jal, because is all what we say in accordance to what's the Prophet's hadith? No. When you say, oh Allah, make my wife happy and make her satisfied with all the money that I have. Is this from the sunnah? Is it? Is it allowed for me to pray like this, supplicate? Yes. Then, likewise, if I read something that a sheikh or an imam wrote and I like it, I may say it, but I may not spread it so that people would not confuse it to sunnah and start to recite it thinking that it has certain powers connected to it. I may not also think that it is better than the sunnah, because nothing definitely is better than the sunnah. The hadith of Anas ibn Malik, we did not go through it completely, though this episode, this program was lost, not in translation, but it was lost in answering all the different questions. I have one issue left, but unfortunately I don't think we have the time for it for today's program. Therefore, until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.